Track 10. Bernard Smart, DSO. Dear and businessman and great war hero. Chris Armstrong looks at the life of the brave man who shot down a Zeppelin.
In the First World War, there were a number of Zeppelin raids on Norfolk, starting as early as January 1915, when bombs were dropped at Great Yarmouth and King's Lynn, though the original intended target was the Humber Estuary. Incendiaries had already been dropped en route between Haysborough and Winterton. To what intended end is unclear. The devices were dropped from two Zeppelins, L3 and L4, stationed in what is now Denmark, at Tondern. What I didn't know until I started the research for this article was that Sheringham was that night the site of the first bomb to be dropped on British soil. The bomb failed to explode and was taken away in a bucket as a souvenir. But if Norfolk was the, albeit an intentional, first target for the Zeppelins, the county got its revenge. It was someone who was later to become a prominent Dereham businessman who achieved the first successful sea-launched aerial attack on a Zeppelin, and who was also to be one of the pilots responsible for the destruction of the hangars at Tondern with the Zeppelins, which were then there based. Bernard Arthur Smart was born in Luton, the son of a hatter, for whom, then aged 20, he worked from 1911. When war broke out, he enlisted in the newly named Royal Naval Air Service and became a petty officer mechanic for duties in the machine gun service, which operated motorcycles with a sidecar attached, from which a machine gun could fire 300 rounds a minute. In this capacity, he served in the Gallipoli campaign, but upon his return to Britain in 1916, he applied for pilot training, on completion of which he was appointed a flight sub-lieutenant. Although initially flying seaplanes, he was assigned for duties on HMS Yarmouth, a cruiser which had been adapted to trial launching of aircraft from a moving ship by building a platform over one of its guns as a makeshift runway. The first successful such takeoff was in late June 1917, and it was about 7 weeks later, on August the 21st, that Bernard Smart, by then a second lieutenant, took off at 0630 hours in pursuit of L-23, a Zeppelin. Now, taking off was one thing, landing was something else. No means had yet been devised for an aircraft to land on a moving ship, so Lieutenant Smart would have to land in the sea and in an aircraft designed to land on terra firma. Although seaplanes existed, they were not capable of acting as a fighter or as a bomber. The Sopwith Pup flown by Smart was a single-seater biplane fighter armed with a single machine gun. The Zeppelin was flying along the Danish coast, possibly monitoring the movements of a British naval squadron, including HMS Yarmouth. No air attack had ever brought down a Zeppelin, and in any event the L-23 was out of range of any British shore-based airfield, so the Germans must have been astonished when Smart, who had climbed to 9,000 feet and travelling at 110 miles per hour, dived on the Zeppelin 3,000 feet below him, accelerating to about 150 miles per hour in the process. As he approached the airship from the rear, Smart saw a machine gun positioning to fire at him, but pressed home his attack, opening fire from about 250 yards, but his initial burst was too high. Putting his nose down, Smart opened up again, firing continuously and scoring multiple hits. He'd nearly left it too late and had to dive almost vertically to avoid colliding with the Zeppelin. Recovering his equilibrium, Smart could see that the remains of the Zeppelin were now in a blazing, smoking wreck on the surface of the sea, where it continued to puff out black smoke for several minutes before sinking. Now came the difficult bit, finding the British squadron. They were not where Smart expected to find them. Mistaking the smoke from the burning Zeppelin for the smoke of the German fleet, they had taken an evasive course in the opposite direction to that expected by Smart, and he found them with only just enough fuel to avoid having to fly to and land in Denmark, with the probability of internment to follow. He later described in detail how, having found the squadron, he managed to land on the sea by having dropped his speed to the point where, from about 15 feet, he just dropped into the water about 200 yards from the nearest ship. Even with the relatively gentle landing, the plane rapidly began to sink, and by the time the rescue boat arrived, he was clinging for dear life to the tail of the plane. News of his achievement rapidly became common knowledge, and Smart was in very short order awarded the DSO. The citation gave no details of the attack. Secrecy was essential since, with no survivors from the airship, there had been no certainty in the German command as to how the L-23 had been lost. The Germans were unaware that the Navy had successfully destroyed the Zeppelin in an attack by an aircraft launched on the high seas. The secrecy was maintained. The following year, Smart was involved in further action involving sea-launched aircraft, which caught the Germans completely by surprise. Things had progressed a little. By now, the means of launching aircraft from a moving ship was a little more sophisticated, and he was flying from HMS Furious. The Furious was something of a half-breed. Originally intended as a battle cruiser, she was converted, while still at the builder's yard, to an aircraft carrier by the expedient of replacing one gun turret with a hangar, whose flat roof could be used as a short runway. She carried 7 Sopwith Camels. HMS Furious was part of a group patrolling up the Danish coast. A plan was formed to attack the hangars at Tondern with the aim of not just destroying the Zeppelin's base there, but also of rendering the field unusable as a base for others. There were to be 2 flights, Bernard Smart commanding the second. By now, they were flying Sopwith Camels, larger aircraft than the Pup he had flown before, and equipped with 2 49-pound bombs. In preparation, the crews had trained at what is now Edinburgh Airport, with targets constructed to represent the various sheds at Tondern. Relocating on the Furious, the crews were frustrated when, positioned handily for the operation, the weather became so bad that it had to be postponed. Returning the following week, the bad weather again prevented an attack, but 24 hours later conditions had improved enough to permit another attempt, this time successful. Whether the first flight had already done terminal damage to the target before Bernard arrived is unclear, but he and the second flight encountered much fiercer resistance from the by now awakened Germans. The first flight had the benefit of complete surprise. The commander of one of the Zeppelins later describing how he was woken up by the sound of an aero engine as a camel crew flew at very low level over his house, and how, in astonishment, as he cycled furiously to the base to find some of the guards still in their pyjamas firing rifles at the British planes. The raid was a total success. Tondern was never used again as a base. One of the aircraft which had set out on the mission had to return after developing engine trouble. 3 more with insufficient fuel to return to Furious landed in Denmark, and the pilots were interned, although all escaped and returned home. One pilot, just 19 years old, whether as a result of engine damage or lack of fuel, died when his plane came down, the only fatality on either side. The other pilot and Bernard Smart made it back to the fleet, ditched in the sea to be picked up. All the pilots who made it to Tondern were decorated, with Smart receiving a second DSO. This remarkable airman retired from the service in 1919 and in 1927 came to Norfolk to join his cousin, Geoffrey Bowman Jenkins, in the toy manufacturer's Bowman Models. Later, the company moved into the manufacture of furniture as Gentique, and eventually Bernard Smart took over the company from his cousin. When, during the Second World War, the company was restricted to war work, Smart devoted much of his energy to a new project, designing clocks, and it was to the manufacture of these that he later returned, forming another company, Metamec. Under his leadership, the companies grew substantially, becoming listed on the stock market, and between them employing more than 1,000 staff by the time he retired in 1969, at the age of 78. He died in 1979 and was thus spared the sadness of seeing both companies going into liquidation a few years later. He was a very successful businessman, but it was as a brave and pioneering naval airman that he should be most remembered. He may have been an incomer, but he remained an adopted man of Norfolk for more than 50 years, and he is one of whom we should be duly proud.